This is Here and Now. New details are emerging today about the school shooting at Reynolds High School in Troutdale, Oregon, earlier this week. Officials have identified the shooter as freshman student Jared Michael Padgett, and they say he was armed with an AR-15 rifle and carrying 9 loaded magazines, which could have shot off many hundreds of rounds. The gun and ammunition belonged to the boy's family. Police also say that Padgett killed fellow freshman Emilio Hoffman and wounded a teacher. And while no one is downplaying the magnitude of this tragedy, authorities have added that the school's preparation, including lockdown training, may have prevented an even greater loss of lives. Rob Manning covers education for Oregon Public Broadcasting, and he joins us now from the studios of OPB. And Rob, first of all, tell us what our officials saying. Tell us more about what they're saying about preparations at Reynolds High School.
Right. Well, as you said, they are really crediting the lockdown drills that they did as basically saving the lives of students and staff. And you could see some evidence just from the TV images that came out on the day of the shooting. You see students emerging from the school, not running, but walking calmly with their hands on top of their heads. There was a statement from Chief Scott Anderson with the Troutdale Police yesterday. He was saying, sometimes it may be difficult to understand why we, law enforcement and the schools collectively, do the planning and lockdown drills we do, but yesterday it worked. The drills can be kind of controversial, especially because they're done in Oregon with students as young as kindergarten. Sometimes they can be kind of frightening, but authorities are definitely saying that you see why they're done after events like what we saw this week.
Right, and I'm seeing that, for example, a key moment in the shooting this week was that teacher Todd Rispler had encountered the shooter in a locker room, and he even was possibly injured by the grazing of a bullet. But he's the one who then went to the office, even though he was injured, and initiated the lockdown procedure.
That's right. And the way they're describing it is it happened very quickly, that he basically saw the shooter, was shot at and was struck, sounds like in his hip or in his side, was able to leave basically that building and go to the main office where he was able to start the lockdown procedure. People had been trained to know what to do when that kind of thing happens. And it basically locks all the classroom doors, and students as well, you know, knew what to do, knew to stay in their classrooms, knew to go to where they were supposed to go.
Mm. And Rob, do we know anything more? And perhaps all the things we've been discussing as part of the answer, but why did the shooter who had, now we know, hundreds of rounds to potentially fire, what prevented him from actually shooting more?
Well, I think part of it was probably the lockdown procedure, that students basically, you know, got as far away from him as they could and then got secured into classrooms. Part of it, I think, too, is the presence of school resource officers. They're basically sworn police officers who are part of the Troutdale Police Department, who are assigned to Reynolds High School, who were on the scene. Basically, they're at the school, and they were there, you know, I've heard them say within seconds. I don't know exactly how fast, but they were there very quickly and essentially confronted Jared Padgett very quickly, and then he retreated into a bathroom where the autopsy indicates he probably killed himself. So I think maybe there are a couple of things going on there. One is that the lockdown was in place, and secondly, that the school resource officers, the armed guards at the school, were able to confront the shooter.
Rob Manning covers education for Oregon Public Broadcasting. Rob, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, let's turn briefly now to Greg Crane. He's the founder of the ALICE Training Institute. ALICE stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evaluate. And the company provides lockdown and safety training to schools around the country. Greg joins us from Dallas, Texas. Greg, welcome to the program. And let me just briefly ask you to describe, when you go into schools, what exactly are you teaching students in terms of preparedness in case a shooter enters the school building?
Well, primarily when we're teaching preparedness, we're teaching options. I heard the previous caller mention that the lockdown worked, and in some cases, securing in place is the best option. But, you know, for those folks that were in the immediate vicinity of the shooter, obviously securing in place wasn't even an option, and they had to get away. You know, the teacher that ran to the other building to initiate the lockdown announcement, he actually did not secure in place. He evacuated that area, and in some cases, leaving is going to be the best option. And so, you know, we dismiss telling people that there's only one way to survive a school shooting, and that's by getting into a room and locking a door. There, are numerous options, and you know, we don't put restrictions on people when their lives are in danger. They need to understand what all of their options are and then make the choice themselves as to what which is that best option.
Well, I'm wondering if you could very briefly tell me, how do students respond when you come in to do the training? Is this something that they've all been through before, or do they feel somewhat uncomfortable about having to think about what to do if a shooter enters a school?
Now, the word I often hear is empowered, because that they've all thought about, you know, what if I was one of those kids who was outside when the shooting started at Columbine, securing in place did not apply? What if I was one of those kids in the cafeteria at Chardon High School where lockdown did not apply? You know, that they've been taught one thing, but in so many school shootings, that one thing has not been applicable. So once we tell them, well, look, there are other options that you can engage and proactively engage for your own survival that don't involve just securing in place. And once they get that additional information, you know, then you see the light bulbs go off.
Right. Well, Greg, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take it back from you there. Greg Crane is founder of the ALICE Training Institute, which stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evaluate. Thank you.